Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, sitting next to me, Mr. James Minnell, and sitting also next to me, our producer, Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah's here to do some prop bets, talk about how she won the defense league that we play in, all three of us, again, and generally cause trouble. Sarah, how are you surviving the snow?
I am loving it.
James, how are you surviving the snow?
I am hating it.
Should we just dedicate this podcast to the question of, is snow good?
No, because the answer is no.
No, the answer is yes.
We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Well, I don't think we'll ever agree to disagree. I mean, come on.
I disagree to disagree.
Well, damn it. Darn it. Gosh darn it. Gall
gosh,
darn it.
Gosh darn it.
Wait, I got it. Well, beep it.
Today, we are going to do two things. We are going to interview Sarah about how she destroyed us all in the defense league or something that we play in, and we're going to talk about Super Bowl predictions and props. Sarah, do you want to just talk about how good you are at defensive fantasy again first? Do you want to just get that out of the way?
Sure. I mean, so we are playing this defensive league, and this is the fourth
year? I think we decided this is the fourth year.
And mm-hmm. I have won... three times?
Mm-hmm. She's, also true.
She's cheating, I think.
I have won three times, and this year I really didn't think I was going to win, actually. I'm going to issue an apology on behalf of Alan, because he was in the championship with me, and he deserved to win that more than I did. I almost didn't make the playoffs. It was neck and neck, actually, me and James trying to make it into the playoffs, and just eked out by half a game, because James had one tie.
Yeah, and somehow the three of us are all in a division, so only two of us can make the playoffs any given year, which was a mistake on our part.
It is, but we're fixing that next year, right?
We are, I think, fixing that next year, but...
that'll be good.
It was hard fought. Sarah put up a good playoff run, and what can you do? She won again on the back of J.J. Watt, her perpetual keeper.
Actually, I would say this year I won on the back of Josh Norman.
Oh, yeah, well, Josh Norman segues us perfectly to our first football prop, one that I'm making up, Josh Norman over-under half an interception. Basically, will Josh Norman catch an interception in this game?
Can I bet the push on this one?
Yeah, you can bet
exactly
the push on
half an interception.
That's one dropped interception.
One dropped interception.
I'm going with the over. I am a huge fan of Josh Norman. I'm a huge fan of his horse, who I've heard is a statuesque horse that generals would ride in olden times. So, absolutely. Six interceptions to Josh Norman.
I think I have to go under, because his interceptions all came earlier in the year. People are afraid of him now. Although, of course, Peyton Manning's thrown a lot of interceptions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, will he have fixed it? Is he now just game manager Peyton Manning? Has he realized that he actually doesn't need to win this game? He just needs to not lose this game? Or is the allure of the spotlight and the potential to win himself... a Super Bowl going to screw with his ability to make rational decisions and instead cause him to make irrational Josh Norman favoring decisions?
I'm just going to put this out there. If I were to have told you that in that game, Broncos-Patriots, one of those quarterbacks would have had a one touchdown, two interceptions, and one of them would have had two touchdowns, zero interceptions, you would not have been able to guess which was which.
That's true, but also in that game, Tom Brady attempted like 58 passes or something, like almost a record high number of passes for him.
While getting crushed.
While getting absolutely obliterated every play. Like,
Tom Brady is the problem, maybe?
I'm not, no.
It's gotta be.
You can't, there's literally no way to look at that data where he's the problem. He was hit more than twice as many times as he's ever been hit in a game before, which is also a number that no quarterback should ever... like, we're talking like Blake Bortles' numbers of getting hit. Blake Bortles' two seasons ago numbers of getting hit, right?
Or
like,
Ryan Tannehill numbers of getting hit.
Ryan Tannehill numbers of getting hit. Like, that offensive line is bad. And Denver's defensive line is really good. And the fact that the Patriots only lost that game by the skin of their teeth... is, you know, it's frustrating because no one likes the Patriots, but you can't say that Tom Brady isn't almost a magical human being.
I can and I will.
All right, well, that brings us, I think, to our next fake prop. And I say fake because we don't actually have lines for these yet.
Right.
They will exist. But, like, there will be a Josh Norman catches an interception prop at some point.
Absolutely.
We just don't know what the odds are. Yeah. And similarly, there will be a prop that says over-under, and I'm going to set you up for another push here, James.
Thank you.
Sacks for the Denver Broncos.
Ah.
This week, that is sacks by Denver Broncos players of Cam Newton.
Right.
Not the other way around.
Yeah.
Four.
That's an excellent question. Cam Newton, as we all know, is a big guy. He's a hard quarterback to sack.
He is.
I mean, he does not take a lot of sacks.
Yeah, I think I go under
four
for sacks.
Is a
I think
lot.
Some of his, I think some of them get counted as either Cam's a runner and he falls for 0 yards and they don't count, or he throws it away. I think they'll
That's
get
a fair
to
point.
Him
because that had not considered
that offensive line isn't great, but I think that he won't get taken down in the backfield the way that Brady was.
Yeah.
So personally, I say under, but I think four is about the right number, so I'm interested in the room.
I think that's, I'm also going under. I just don't see Cam Newton getting sacked all that much. Pressured into making bad throws or just throwing the ball away, maybe, but getting it actually sacked, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm going to say I don't think that's the right number.
It seems like it if we're all going under, so let's...
I think it should be 2.5.
Ooh, that's not very many.
Well, I mean, how many sacks did he have of Tom Brady? Or they, not he. I guess there's multiple people on the Denver Broncos defensive line. But it was like 4, right? It's going to be less.
Tom Brady is also a good quarterback, a quarterback who is really good at not taking sacks, but for different reasons than Cam is. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Tom Brady is probably an easier quarterback in a physical sense to sack, but... He's got the, you know, mental awareness to throw the ball to the line of scrimmage while he's, like, horizontal and inches from face-planting into the sand. So it's, you know, I think that 4 is a reasonable number. I just don't see it particularly happening in this
year. Yeah, maybe that's too high then. I will say that Cam has been sacked 33 times this year, so it's roughly 2 per game.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm trying to get the number of sacks that they had in that last... that last game, but I don't have it yet.
So if it's 2 and a bit sacks per game, and we know that Denver has the best pass rush in football right now, 2.5 or 3 seems like pretty much exactly the right number.
Yeah. Okay, so let's change it to 2.5.
All right.
I'll go over for that.
All right, I'm still going under.
Oof. I think I'm going over.
Okay.
That's fair.
Tom Brady was sacked 4 times, so yeah, probably that number was too low that first time.
Yeah.
I have to go over because I want this game to be interesting, and I think if Denver doesn't get pressure on Cam, it's not going to be, I think, that they'll get crushed.
I think
that's how I felt about the game against New England, too. I was like, they have to get pressure or they'll get crushed.
I think they can get pressure without necessarily getting sacks, right? Like,
that's true.
You can get...
Which is what I said at first, but now I'm backtracking.
Okay.
3 sacks, I say.
All right.
Specifically.
Specifically 3.
Sarah, I heard you have real props for us with real lines that you can actually look up.
I sure do. Well, let's start with a classic one. Coin toss, heads or tails?
Well, we learned a lot about the coin toss in that...
We
that
did, and then it actually has to flip, apparently. It's actually
it's coin
a coin
flip,
not a coin toss.
And I say heads. You gotta go with heads.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with the traditional long shot bet of edge, that the field is kind of wet, and it just...
Every year, James
right
chooses
into the,
this. But it's
right
not
the
wet out in California.
Edge.
I mean, if
oh,
was
that's
in
right.
Carolina.
We're not in Carolina. Good point. All right. Well, then I'm going with tails.
I was also going to go with tails. I always call tails when I flip a coin. I don't know why.
I thought you were going to say I was also going to go with edge.
Okay. I can give you like the lines for this game.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Probably good to pick, I suppose.
Carolina -4.5.
You know, it's actually up to 5.5 now on Sportsbook already. Apparently,
well, that's
Carolina's
getting
bet.
Carolina's
getting
bet pretty heavy.
I believe it because I was for sure going to go with Carolina on that one.
I'll take Denver. I believe this game can be good. And also, well, actually, let's get James's pick and then I'll explain why.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one. I think I'm going to go with Denver. I really am. I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to be really close, so I'm going to bet the underdog, because I don't know who's going to win this game.
So let me tell you why you should go with Denver. Why you should go with Denver, Sarah. Because everyone's saying, basically, that Carolina's going to crush Denver. That's, like, the general narrative that's out there.
Yeah.
But I have this theory, and I've expressed this before, I think on the podcast, that the NFL, similar to professional wrestling, is basically rigged.
Yes.
And Peyton Manning goes out on top. I mean, that's the best storyline you can get.
Best story you could possibly, yeah.
You know?
Okay, but let me give you this. Wouldn't Peyton Manning comes back from neck surgery and goes out on top been a good narrative? Because what actually happened, if you recall, was they got destroyed.
It has to be his last year.
That set us up for an even bigger comeback this year. Because last year didn't work.
It's all
right?
in the narrative.
It's all
Sarah.
In the narrative. Sarah.
Yeah, see, I hope you guys are right, because I think the Super Bowl is going to be horrible. I think it's going to be a Super Bowl similar to the last Denver Broncos Super Bowl. I think they're going to get destroyed by the Panthers. But I would prefer it to not be the case, so I hope you guys are right.
I think that Denver's defense is so much better suited. Not necessarily that it is significantly better than the Arizona Cardinals, although it is, because Denver's defense is the best, and Arizona Cardinals minus Tyrann Mathieu...
As it turns out, it's only okay.
Denver matches up way better against what Carolina offense does than Arizona's defense does. Because Arizona's defense has a lot... They run a lot of packages with lots of defensive backs in there. A lot of their players are undersized. I don't think they have a linebacker... I don't think they have a middle linebacker that weighs more than 250 pounds. Meanwhile, Denver has Brandon Marshall and... the other guy, what's his face?
Yeah.
Sitting there in the middle, just solid walls of pain, ready to... Like, what Carolina does really well is use Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, and Cam Newton as, like, this massive running threat, where you got three guys who are big, hard to tackle, and good runners that can just bowl you over. But Denver can stand up to that. Like, Denver has big guys who can make tackles. Arizona couldn't do that. That's a serious problem that Arizona had. You have, like, Deion Buchanan trying to tackle Cam Newton, and he weighs, like, 210 pounds, and Cam Newton weighs, like, 260 pounds and is, like, 4 inches taller than him. And it's just, that's never going to go good for Arizona. Denver is set up to have a way better shot at stopping Cam in this.
I'm not going to argue with that. However, I think there's a lot of room between how much the Panthers crushed the Cardinals and how much the Panthers could crush the Broncos, with the Broncos doing better than Arizona.
That's true, but as we know in football, past performance is never an indicator of future potential, especially in this crazy sport. But I just think that Carolina's going to have to beat Denver in the air, and I don't know which quarterback is actually better at that right now. Because Peyton Manning, if he's in game manager, I'm not making mistakes mode, then he's making reasonable passes. And they're going to take time, but they're going to eat up chunks of the field, and they're going to get down there and score points. And Cam Newton, if he can't make plays on the ground, because Denver's too big, then he's going to have to make plays with his hands, and he's going to have to throw to, let's go over this one last time, Ted Ginn Jr., Devin Funches,
yep.
Some guy named Brown I've never heard of before.
Philly Brown.
Philly Brown, I mean, that's it. Downtown yeah. Philly Brown. And I can't even think of a fourth receiver.
Well, Greg Olsen.
Oh, Greg Olsen. He's Greg Olsen, which is probably the best receiver that they had. So it's not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be easy going for Carolina. I think that they have definitely got a chance. Either team could easily win this, but it's not going to be a cakewalk like it was against Arizona.
I think the first quarter is going to determine the course of that game. I think if the Broncos get momentum, and if Peyton Manning gets some confidence, it could be a close game. But if they get shut out in the first quarter, I think it's over.
Moving on. This next prop is totally real. I found it on Sportsbook. It was not in the Super Bowl section.
Okay.
You might expect.
This is a great thing, then.
Which team will Robert Griffin III play for in 2016 must be on week one roster?
Ooh!
Texans 3-2, Cowboys 2-1, Browns 6-1, Rams 7-1, 49ers 12-1, Eagles 15-1, Dolphins 25-1, Jets 25-1, Bears 28-1, and are you ready?
Yeah.
Any CFL team 75-1.
Man, I am really tempted to take that any CFL team.
If Chip Kelly had stayed with the Eagles, or really gone anywhere other than the 49ers, I would have said whatever team Chip Kelly was
played
on.
For,
But now he's got Kaepernick, and he doesn't really need RG3 and Kaepernick. That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. I see St. Louis, now LA, as a good fit.
I was going to say that, too. I was going to say the Rams. I actually can totally see that.
Yeah.
I see it as a good fit. I don't know if the organization will do that, because this is the organization that traded for Nick Foles. So,
well, that's true. But they haven't re-signed him, I don't think.
They haven't re-signed him. But I'm not saying that they've traded for Nick Foles so they have a quarterback. I'm saying they traded for Nick Foles so they may not actually be all that great at evaluating talent, is what I was saying.
I see what you're saying.
But, man, 75-1
for that CFL.
I would take that. I would take that CFL bet.
I like Rams, and 7-1's not enough for me. I'll take Jets 25-1.
That would be fun.
It would be fun. That's the main reason. I think that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Bears would be fun too, but they've got too much money in Cutler, and I assume that. Well, I guess in theory he could be a backup based on the way it's worded, but it's not like they gave all the other teams. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go with Jets. I'll take the long odds there.
All right, I've got another real.
Yeah, let's do one or two more and then get on out of here.
First score of the game.
Oh yeah.
Touchdown, minus 170.
Okay.
Any other score, plus 140.
Gosh.
I mean, you have to take the plus 140. I'm going to take
any other score. With these two teams, I just... Yeah, I don't know. If I had to bet what the other score would be, then it might be harder. But I could see a field goal or a safety from either of these teams.
Yeah, I think that is... I would have to go with the any other score. I could see a field goal.
Mm-hmm. Except I just made fun of Ted Ginn like 10 minutes ago, but I can totally see like opening kickoff. Ted Ginn returns 106 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know. Denver's special teams is decent.
Here's a question: is Ted Ginn this year's Super Bowl's Jacoby Jones?
Oh God, he is such a Jacoby Jones kind of player.
Yeah.
He could be.
I can see the... So maybe not first half, so maybe it doesn't matter for this prop bet, but I can see like a second half opening kickoff, return for a touchdown that breaks the game or something like that.
It is the one thing he's good at, running fast.
Running fast, yeah.
He cannot catch footballs, but he can run fast.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
All right, you got one more for us, Sarah, and then we'll get on out of here.
Sure, all right. Will there be a missed extra point?
Yes. I don't care what the odds are. Yes.
Well, the odds are pretty good. Plus 375.
Is yes?
Yeah.
I bet $375.
That works the opposite direction.
Right.
That's fine.
I will bet $100.
Yeah, these kickers have been pretty reliable this year. The only reason it's there is because they missed an extra point in the Patriots-Broncos game.
Yeah.
But... Who knows?
Blair Walsh was the most consistent kicker this season. In the regular season, he did not miss a single attempted field goal. And yet, in the Vikings playoff game, he missed an extra point and a real field goal.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the kickers missed them. I personally am saying, nah. It'll be an exciting game, but not due to missed extra points. Although it'd be kind of fun if it came down to an extra point and then the game ended it went to overtime
on a missed extra point.
That would be like great. That.
Well, then let me also tell you that you can also bet on whether there will be an overtime or not, and it has never happened.
Yeah, it's never happened in the Super Bowl. I knew that.
Oh, so we're due then, right?
Yeah, that's
so we should
that
all bet on that?
Plus 500.
That's not terrible. Now wait, 5-1 is way too low to bet on overtime for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
It's because you want to bet on it. You know,
yeah.
Those things that you really want to have happen, the odds aren't good for you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, wait. Let's do the over/under. That's another real thing.
Before
we get on out of here, the over/under for the game is currently listed at 45.5. And I like, man, if I want it to be a close game, I have to go under, right?
You don't have to, but it seems less likely that it's a close game because it's a shootout than it's a close game because it's good defenses.
So I'll go under.
I am also going under.
Being consistent with my prediction of the game, I am going over. I think Carolina scores a million points.
What are the odds on Carolina scoring a million points?
You can generally
bet plus one million?
Modified lines or something like that. So let's just go try to take a look at a modified line for this. See if those are... They're probably not up yet because nothing's up yet, but you can bet Panthers points over under 25.5. Sarah likes over.
Definitely.
You can... and again, eventually... Oh, no, here's some adjusted lines. Sarah, you can bet Panthers minus 14.5 So they have to win by over two touchdowns. You get only 2.5 to 1.
Wow! Gosh. The betting world thinks that that is surprisingly likely.
Yeah, well...
A surprisingly enticing bet, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty likely.
You can bet Broncos by favored by 3.5 at plus 240, which is pretty similar. If you like the Broncos. If you think the NFL's fixed.
Yeah.
As I do. I don't really think that most of the time.
Right, but only some of the time.
Some of the time you have
okay.
to
really
You don't think you that they force the Patriots to miss that extra point so that everyone who hates them would be like, oh good, forgive them now.
For the
it's
next like
good.
10 years, the NFL can be like, look, they didn't even make it to the Super Bowl.
And it's a
like,
smart marketing move.
I guess that's true. It's like how MLB has agreed with the Yankees that they're just going to suck for the next 10 years and everyone will forget about how much they hate the Yankees. And then the Yankees will get back on the money train and it'll all just come together for them. So if football is fixed, like wrestling, right, what are the chances that, you know, like in wrestling, sometimes you get the wrestling commissioner comes out in the middle of a match you know, and does his own wrestling to sort out a problem, right? What are the chances that we get the NFL commissioner to come out there and, I don't know, kick an extra point or something like that for whichever team, for Denver, because I guess they want Denver to keep it close,
I think if you're going to do that, you definitely want to parlay that with the missed extra point.
Yes. Yeah,
you
definitely.
Tie those two bets together. I don't think it's that. See, the problem is that it's not that much of a spectacle yet. I think if their ratings start to dip, you'll start to see stuff like that. Right now, the ratings are still good, so they'll just keep the narrative in the game.
Do you think it would improve television ratings if instead of the head referee doing the coin toss, it was the commissioner?
I don't think it would have no effect on television ratings, but... I would appreciate that. Yeah. I think it was a good idea.
Would it have to be every game?
Every game, yeah. So they'll have to redo the schedule so they can stagger all the starts so that the
Which James and I already proposed that there will only be 3 or 4 games a day.
Right, but you do games all week, basically.
Yeah.
And then we can get the commissioner to flip all the coins. I think that would just lend... You know, there's a credibility problem in the NFL right now, and I think that would just massively boost their trustability. You know, to see the commissioner out there every day doing hard coin flipping work.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy.
Good, honest work. Yeah.
All right, that's enough props. That's enough props. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is "Dear Liza" by Ned and the Dirt. We will most likely not be back until sometime after the Super Bowl, maybe as late as next year. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe we'll put out some off-season podcasts. Maybe
we
won't.
Yeah, we should do it.
We should, though.
We probably won't, but we should. So maybe we will. Maybe we'll do a post-Super Bowl. Just kind of like decompression sort of podcast.
It can be a laid-back podcast. Yeah. You know, you can wear your sweatpants when you're listening to it. You can... just sort of chill.
Unlike normal, when we expect you to be dressed formally.
Yeah, well, for this business podcast. Casual.
Yeah, if you need to be, you know, no jeans.
No jeans, no.
No flip-flops.
Button-down shirt. Don't need a tie, though. That's
no,
too
you don't
much.
Need, if you want a tie, you can have the tie, but you don't need
we're
the
not,
tie.
You know.
Since I'm on the podcast, want to say that Ned and the Dirt... is going on tour in March, in case these guys don't continue podcasting through then, on the West Coast, and also going to South by Southwest, so you can catch them there. And also, their new album is out, it's called Wolfpack, and it's amazing, and you should totally go and buy it, or you can hear it on the radio. It's been getting really, really good responses, so you should totally check out Ned and the Dirt Wolfpack.
Yep, it's not about... So they're not wolves...
Wait, what? No, but...
Some of them are dirt.
Oh,
but none
right,
of them are
okay.
wolves. It's about That's, wolves.
Yeah, that would be weird,
but
I guess.
But I think metaphorically.
A wolf made of dirt, that doesn't... I don't understand. Okay, that makes... No, I'm okay with it now.
Yeah, it's not a dirt wolf. I think it's a metaphor of some sort.
All right, yeah.
But you'll have to listen to really figure it out, I believe.
There's only one way to find out.
Do we have a hit of the week? Seems like, I mean, obviously just DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller.
I think just them, their collective existence this week.
There wasn't even a particular sack that stood out other than just...
Just that it happened like every time.
It really seemed like every play, it seemed like they had the snap count totally figured out and they were just off to the races every play. It was really an impressive show. And they got a bunch of sacks out of it, and it was lovely. And it's nice to see DeMarcus Ware going to his first Super Bowl. There's a narrative for you, too. You
know? Yeah.
So that's your hit of the week. Again, we will be back sometime, somehow. From Alan.
And James.
And Sarah.
Stay low.